Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
When your kid graduates high school, and what a monumentous accomplishment.
That's right.
It's just...
especially for your kid.
It's amazing.
Did they find out new words and new dictionaries?
Monumentous.
Monumentous.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, 1 o'clock hour on Monday. KSHB 41's sports director, Mick Schaefer, joining us here in the Zone. Mick, how are you?
What's up, crew?
Hi.
Good to see ya.
Hey, good to see you. It's been a while.
It has been 12 hours or something like that.
Roughly? About 15.
15-ish.
15 hours or so. You know what? That was the ding of it being 15 hours right there.
I set my... I took a new weight at work today, and I timed it to see if maybe it's better. I think it's slower because I think I've timed it before, but I'm tired.
Uh-huh.
Just getting to 119th in Metcalf, and it's having half my drive left.
Yep.
Because it's like, oh, here's a block. Here's a turn into a fast food place. Let's put a light there. Here's another fast food. Let's put a light there.
There's a crosswalk in the middle of the street. Let's go ahead and put a walk there,
too. Is the light now?
There's a light in your lobby. I'm like, well, that's a little excessive. I'm going up the back stairs. There's a light there.
It's a traffic light to get into the parking lot. You've got to wait there.
I did the 119th from 69 to see if that was a little faster.
What was your home address again?
Right.
I want to time it myself.
I thought it was fine. You came in at just a regular time.
I left early.
You weren't late or anything.
I had my stuff together today.
Never got a text from you that, coming in hot. Hey, guys, I'm stuck here at this spot, or I got this going on. Or
yeah. No, I had my stuff together today.
With friends, just taking some pulls. I'll be in there when I get in. We'll see if I make it or not. I'm not sure. It's a pool day, which is typically on a Friday for you. You know, looking forward to you coming in shorts and a tank top.
A couple months away from that.
That's when summer's going to be here. I will know that it's summer by the view of Mick's upper thigh.
Like, now you're pretty sure this is water right here. I'm pretty sure, but in a couple months you'll be like, what's going on there?
Just wondering, are you going to do the whole hour in sunglasses?
Absolutely.
Let's coordinate that.
Yeah.
And I'm with you.
With the whole hour in sunglasses?
Yeah, absolutely.
I get my, it's my...
I don't have any in here, but...
Pat McAfee collection of tank tops.
That's right.
Yes.
Although just I don't like
it's a black tank top.
I'll fill them out as well as the punter does.
Yeah.
Did you see him talking with the Andy Reid soundbite today?
No, I didn't.
So somebody at the meetings, right?
When
meetings,
the owners' meetings.
Owners' baseball. And so somebody, I imagine it was some junior reporter from Wisconsin somewhere, said, what did you think about Jordan Love's performance? He's like, what? What did you think about Jordan Love's performance in the game against you? And this is like a year and a half ago, right?
Yeah.
In the middle of the 21 season?
Yes.
And Andy's Johnson is like, I'm just trying to think who Jordan Love is.
Oh, my God.
And because the quarterback for the Packers, I realized it was a couple seasons ago. I don't remember, but I tell you, he did great.
He was 13 of 34 for 190 yards, a touchdown, and a pick.
All I remember from that game is where his mom
sat.
That's
it.
Yep, me too. Yep. That was November 7th, 2021.
Yeah, I believe I was, might have been on vacay.
I remember that game was a little closer than it should have been.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was 13-7.
Every Chiefs game.
I think.
It was the backup quarterbacks. Oh my God! No, Mahomes did play in that game. What happened?
I think his mother's recollection of that game might be the same as Andy Reid's. Like, what do you think of his performance? I don't know. I didn't see it.
But I'm sure he did well.
He had to have.
I was thrilled. He sat there. Finally, somebody had a worse seat than those of us in the press box.
Aww.
I'm a victim.
A media guy hates his free parking and
free game and free food.
The Chiefs scored a touchdown their first yes. possession of that game, and yep. then they won it 13-7. I've blocked out so many punt drives.
No, that was the group of games in a row that the Chiefs
Giants
came out.
Game they barely won, right?
But the first possession, it was like boom, yeah. went down the field. Okay, the struggles of offense are over, and then the rest of the game
they play football team in that stretch too, and that was also not great.
That's when Tyrann Mathieu didn't wrap up Taylor Heinicke and then tweeted about it afterwards. That's my memory from that game.
Did something happen with that tweet?
Nah.
Okay.
You're taking it well.
I don't know. Did Troy Aikman retweet it or something?
Troy Aikman was not involved. That was actually earlier that they looks like they played the football team.
Yeah, but there was a stretch of games where it was like they came out and scored on the first possession, and then they scored, 18 in the game.
Yeah, so like, hey, just start scripting the first 30 plays, maybe. Yeah.
Why not
maybe
script 60. The first 60 plays?
I'm sure it's not going to work. It's not cut and dry, but give it a shot.
They lost
it can't be
Titans.
Worse. Yeah. Well, they got blown out.
27-3. That was my
tweeting peak, I believe.
Oh, yeah?
Because that was the first year of the 17-game schedule. And they were getting their doors blown off in Nashville, right? Final score was like 27-3, right?
Yep.
Was that it?
27-3.
And so I'm like, and so that was the first year they had a January 2nd game and a January 9th game. First time ever.
That was the tweet.
And so I said, guys, I don't care. I don't care what you say. I still think this team plays at least a couple games in January. No way, dude. What are you guys smoking at KC? You kidding me?
You guys are dumb.
See? And I really kind of half believed that was a team that was going to fight to make the playoffs at that point.
But the tweet is great.
They played five games in January, ultimately,
they did.
By the way.
They played five games that year in January because was it the 31st? Was that the championship
30th.
Game?
Yeah. Yep, 30th.
Is this your...
So I was right both ways. I was right in the way they thought I was talking about, and I was literally right because they had two regular season games. But I thought I was popping off. I'm like, because we were still kind of on the heels of COVID, and there's the possibility of a game getting banged. I'm like, yeah, that's just that my luck. There's going to be a COVID game.
They won't play in
January 2nd that gets banged.
That's like everybody had was so quick to fire off their tweets and their jokes in the 2014 wild card game when the Royals were losing. And it was Central Time Zone, so it wasn't going to hit midnight before the game was over. Yeah. The Royals still didn't play in October because it was the last day. The Royals still. How about that? Royals still can't play in October. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah, they did play in October. They played a lot of games in October, actually. Okay. So
I remember
tweeting
out in like the sixth inning. Man, this postseason isn't much of a season.
it's a post couple of hours. Yes. That's like an overtime, is what this is. It's less than that. So you were right about that. Were you right about all your Final Four picks? Nailed it.
I got UConn.
Did you really? Good for you.
And like I filled out two brackets. One of the two.
Oh,
I did one that was more chalky. The other was more trendy. Mm-hmm. Right.
Is the UConn trendy or chalky?
Trendy.
Okay.
But that was when I had them and Duke in it, and I think, I don't remember the others.
Did you have coming out of the South, like Princeton or Charleston or something?
That was it. It was Princeton. The South would have been, let's see, that's Alabama's.
Mm-hmm. Right? Arizona, Bama, Baylor.
Chalky, I might have had Bama. I was really high on Bama. I might have had them in both. Mm-hmm. That was my one seed.
Jordan Miller, huh? Brandon Miller. There we go.
Brandon Miller. Jordan Miller is for UConn.
Game. Yep.
For UConn that had the first game since Christian Laettner with at least 7 free throws and field goal attempts and not missing a shot.
Jordan Miller plays for Miami.
Jordan Miller for Miami, right? Isn't that the guy who was the first one since Christian Laettner to have at least 7 of 7 from the floor, but 9 of 9 from the free throw
line? That is correct. Yep. Yes, there
he's
we go.
Get it right eventually.
We got there, everybody.
I know he's in the Final Four. I'll tell you that.
Michael Miller.
He's going to be my hero this weekend.
Mike Miller and the great shot against Florida. you're not going to show up to Florida and not win in the first round. that's not going to happen.
I did. I think I was close on. Like I said, at two brackets. One, I was like, you know what? I'm going to carry the Cats all the way. So I was close there. And then I had Texas in my chalky one. But I've gone back this weekend in this past really 2 weeks. I've just gone back and forth between like, okay, was the Big 12 this power conference or were they overrated? And it's like the meme on the girl on Facebook where she's like,
Kombucha girl.
Is that her name? What is it?
It's kombucha. She was a kombucha drink. So
yes.
She's kombucha.
Oh,
okay.
Yes.
I don't know her actual name.
Kombucha girl. Mm-hmm. Because after the first weekend when, two made it to the Sweet 16? Is mm-hmm. that right? Was it just K-State and Texas? Out of 7, I'm like, well, what an overrated league. But then both those teams have great victories in the Sweet 16. And I start thinking about it. I'm like, well, okay. You know, KU won last year. Baylor won the year before. Mm-hmm. Tech was a shot away from winning the tournament before that. And now you have two separate teams that have great shots of making the Final Four. And then they didn't make the Final Four, so now I'm just like, maybe I don't like this kombucha.
I think both can be true. I think you can say, boy, this was the toughest conference because, like, 1 through 10, even the 9th and 10th teams that didn't make the NCAA tournament, you're like, boy, they're still pretty good teams. But also saying, you know, they didn't really have a dominant team at the top. Yeah. Like, they didn't have an Alabama. But, like, I mean, the SEC isn't the best conference top to bottom. But, boy, Alabama feels like a dominant team that's there.
But if that was the case, they would have flooded the Sweet 16 with, like, four or five teams. Right?
Or flooded the round of 32.
And they haven't. The last, even when KU and Baylor, the mm-hmm. last 2 years, they have not. I think, what, 1 year? I think it was only two and might have been just one? What was it?
Well, this breaks the streak of three straight championships where there's a Big 12 team involved.
In the championship game, yeah. It does. And so I've just always just kind of like raised an eyebrow at trying to judge conferences because the bulk of your schedule is against your own.
Yeah.
You just feed yourself. And so I'm sure they were the best league, just like the SEC is in football each year. There wasn't this deep gap, this huge crevasse, right, between them and everybody else.
I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. Conference USA needs some respect because Florida Atlantic was picked fifth in their conference, and they're in the Final Four. That's how deep that conference is.
There we go.
At Conference USA.
They're playing the last place team in the Big 12.
Yeah, they got zero first place votes preseason, did FAU in Conference USA. All right, and they're in the Final Four. That's a tough conference. Tough conference, Conference USA, yeah. I'm guessing.
Or
maybe.
Or it's just.
Where's Fairleigh Dickinson from again?
New Jersey.
No, I mean, what conference are they in?
Northeast Conference, somewhere around there.
Won a tournament game. Northeast Conference. NEC.
They won two tournament games, Josh.
Yep. They had a play-in.
Well, listen.
It's not a play-in. It's an actual tournament game.
They used
to call it the first round.
Now it's first four again. Yes. So.
Yeah, which is dumb.
I'm just saying there's a lot of conferences clearly better than the Big 12.
They need to go back, though, and change the records because I'm tired of looking at the tournaments in that space where a team lost in the second round, but they actually lost in the first round. But it's listed as, you know, lost in the second round. No, they didn't.
It was your first game.
No, they didn't. They lost in the first round.
Your first game, you didn't get a bye.
That's right. I mean, it's like, you know, they lost in the second round. Why? Well, because, you know, 60 teams got a bye.
Yeah.
The Northeast Conference logo looks weirdly like Marvel-y / 90s / like,
I don't know, are made they in the
with some made with some they are
that was a total guess, by the way.
Half court shot, nailed it. Northeast Conference is just I don't know, it looks like a conference from a Disney Channel original movie.
That does actually
kind of how that works, I guess.
Looks like a conference from a made-up NFL team.
Yeah.
You're
right.
An XFL team.
We can't go NFC. Can we go NEC?
Yep, the
yeah,
NEC.
You know what?
This quarterback is the best in the league, and he's playing for the best team in the NEC, okay? And them facing the AEC in the Super Bowl, it's a big deal. So what do you think about Jordan Love's performance?
Not familiar.
Don't remember.
I tell you, he played great.
It's probably great. I have a complicated relationship with the NCAA tournament and the fun upsets in that
you're an elitist. You hate underdogs.
I enjoy the upsets early. I enjoy the upsets early, but late in the tournament, I'd rather there be chalk because, you know, bigger matchups in the Elite Eight and things like that. Look, I'll be fine watching FAU and San Diego State and, you know, Miami and UConn, and that's great. It'll be annoying because it's like, you know, Missouri has had this whole history, and they can't have one of those years to where they just happen to make a run. I mean, again, as I said in the first hour, I started playing basketball a year before Florida Atlantic did. Okay, they started playing basketball in 88. I was 8 years old. I was playing basketball as a 7 year old, and Florida Atlantic was like, should we play basketball?
This guy in Lee Summit's doing it.
That guy's doing it over there, so why shouldn't we play basketball? They had zero tournament wins in their history, and now they have four tournament
wins. The tournament usually goes that way, though. Usually goes how you like it. My son said something, and he says a lot of incorrect stuff.
I know.
But he was doubling down on this. He said 2019, mm-hmm. from 79 to 2019, Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina, KU, and maybe one other. Every Final Four at least had one of them. Maybe Michigan State's one of them.
Well, Michigan State went to a lot of them, so it might have been Michigan State.
Then they went back-to-back tournaments with none of them in there.
So would that be Virginia, Texas Tech, Auburn, and then who did? Who else was in that?
That would have been the 2019 tournament. Yeah.
So he's saying right until that. So Virginia beat Auburn on a BS call that it should have been a travel on Virginia.
Virginia, Texas Tech,
who
Auburn.
Did Texas Tech beat in the national semifinal? I don't remember who it was.
Gonzaga.
There you go. Okay, there you go.
Give me the 21 Final Four.
21 was Baylor, UCLA,
Gonzaga,
and then who did Baylor beat in their game? Because UCLA-Gonzaga had that great game where Suggs hit the shot in overtime.
Houston.
So there you go.
Was that Quentin Grimes Houston, or was he? Yes. That was his year there, right?
Yep. And then last year was KU, North Carolina, Duke, and Villanova.
Yes, absolutely.
It was the bloodiest of blues that were there.
So you might be right, but I'm like, there was no, like, random. What about the year when like Louisville and Wichita State ran? Who else was in that?
Louisville, Wichita State, Michigan, and who did Michigan beat? Louisville beat Wichita State.
So far, your ability to remember three of the Final Four teams has been really impressive.
Yep.
And then it takes you almost long enough for me to Google things like Michigan beating Florida.
Florida was in that one?
Wait, hold on.
Are you sure? I don't remember Florida being there.
What year?
2013.
No, I scrolled. Sorry, that might have been an Elite Eight game. I think I stopped scrolling too quick. Louisville, Wichita State, Michigan, Syracuse.
Syracuse made the run.
Syracuse,
that's right.
So that's not one of the ones I named.
Michigan beat
so
Florida.
Maybe there's something
Syracuse
to that. Maybe there's not. But it usually happens that way, where there's crazy big upsets, and then they run out of steam second weekend, and you know, cream rises to the top, and all that stuff.
Well, 2012 was Kentucky, Kansas, Louisville, and Ohio State. there was some chalk that was there. There was some blue bloods that were there. Ohio State's got national championships.
Oh wait, was really
all one.
Really, really blue bloody, all ones, except for, you know, Memphis, obviously not a blue blood. I'm not here for anybody saying that UConn's not a blue blood at this point.
They've got four championships in 19 years or whatever, or 23 or whatever it is.
Four,
but they'll have five. I'm guessing they'll have five 8 days from now.
Yeah.
Or
out of
a week tonight.
Out of six Final Fours, is that right? This is their sixth Final Four.
Jim Calhoun had a championship every time he went to the Final Four, except for when he had Hasheem to beat in 2009 with that scrappy little
If your argument is that they've got to win multiple titles with multiple coaches, then take Duke out of your list.
Yeah, right.
And they're a new, they were nothing until, what, 85-ish, whenever it came in?
Well, it's not like you're about to call them a new blood, and I think we should pick that up. And that maybe UConn at least has
Indiana
new blood status.
Indiana has lost its card for me.
Yeah.
It's not part of the blue blood.
Well, they were Bob Knight. I mean, how much were they a blue blood overall?
Well, won in the 1950s. They won in 52.
They're Bob Bloods.
KU counts that?
I know, but KU's
Kentucky
like,
counts all those titles?
But that's, KU's also been winning since then. Like, it was different coaches. It was Rupp and Joby Hall and Patino and Cal. Like, they've got four national championships.
I'm saying Indiana's out. I'm saying before Knight, they were still a formidable. They were way better before Knight than they were after Knight.
Oh, I agree with that. Yeah, absolutely.
Now,
They at least won a national championship before.
I think they won in the 40s and then won
Bob
Knight. Won in like 53. Didn't they beat K-State in the national championship game? 53?
Villanova has two national championship winning coaches.
See, Villanova's an interesting one.
Yeah, KU's
blue
got...
Blood. Sign me up.
Three championship coaches.
I think UConn's a blue blood. Nova's a new blood. Still. How about that?
When was Nova? 85.
They won in 85. They won before UConn did.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, buddy.
No, right, that then you're saying that they've been a blue blood for a much longer time. Or when do you validate? How many punches on your punch card do you need?
Well, KU wasn't a blue blood in 1952.
Right.
No, they weren't.
They maybe achieved that status in the late 80s when they won in 88. I don't know.
Sure.
I mean, KU's like...
But also every year being freaking good and winning games and being the all-time wins.
That's part of it. KU's the anti-UConn, though. They've been to... Is it 16 Final Fours or something like that?
Tom Izzo was the anti-Calhoun. Izzo would go to Final Fours and then lose in the national semifinal. Yeah. Calhoun wouldn't go to Final Fours, but when he went, he won it.
He won it.
He was and then three times, for three and then almost, three for four.
It's almost like when he went to the tournament, he won it because they missed it like eight times since in that span. One of every 3 years, they're not going to the tournament.
UConn basketball was
like
the
one out of every five, they're winning it.
They were like the Florida Marlins back in the day when they would win a championship and then tear it down and then make the playoffs and win a World Series and then tear it down and make the playoffs.
Precisely.
That's all they would do. If you're going to make the playoffs, might as well win.
Twice, but yeah.
Yeah, but you might as well win if you go there. You know, they only went to the playoffs twice, and they win a World Series, and then they sell everybody off. And UConn's like, well, if we're going to go to the Final Four, we might as well win it while we're here. But Calhoun was three for three.
The Royals are kind of UConn-y when it comes to making the playoffs, right? Two of the last three.
So they've got, you know, right? two of four. Well, two of the last three, but
two of the last three, they've the last won three. It all. And then the other one, they got to a game seven.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Okay, I've got a list of teams here.
How long have a gap in between those, though?
Don't worry about it.
A few years.
Why are you bringing up old stuff?
I can sort by Final Four appearances, championship game appearances, and championships here.
Oh, cool.
So you've got, you know, teams with double-digit Final Four appearances. North Carolina, UCLA, Duke, Kentucky, Kansas, Ohio State, Louisville, Michigan State.
Do we consider Ohio State a blue blood,
though? This is the question I was about to ask, because they've appeared in five, let's listen, as Final Two. I'm going to call it the championship.
They went to three straight championship. Yeah.
But only one of them.
One.
Yep.
Yeah, so, like 61
I don't,
or
We do
60.
Not consider
So 11
State
Final Fours and five championship either. Appearances, but one championship, not a blue blood.
You got to have at least three.
Got to have at least three.
At least three championships.
So Michigan State, blood. Not a blue blood?
I don't think so.
No.
Wow.
Honestly, all the teams I consider blue bloods are blue. They all have blue in the color, every single. And so, like my son, again, the one that doesn't always know.
He's like, Louisville's out.
He's like, I thought they were called blue bloods because of their color. I'm like, no, but it's just a coincidence.
Yeah, you're not making me go back in a time machine and talk about whether or not Louisville's a blue blood or not and have that argument again.
Yeah, let's do it. 913-381-1010. Beards, open up the phones.
About a decade ago.
267-968.
We'll get the forwarding going on. I'll figure it out.
Let's get into this, is Louisville a blue blood? Let's talk about it, because I feel like it's going to be split whether you're a fan of the red or the blue. Blue, what
They've
your
got
opinion is on that.
Three titles, right?
Yes.
Yep. There's an asterisk on here. So.
Yes, they've got
three-ish titles.
They've got three titles. They've got a number of Final Fours along the way, and they've done it with two coaches, Denny Crum and Rick Pitino. So, I mean, I think they're on the cusp. I think if they're not, they're like one of the first four out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Of the Blue Blood tournament. They need a championship to really solidify themselves in the tournament. They need one more win in the championship to do that. Some would say two more. I don't know. But they've got three, so I think they would be in contention. So, like I've always said, like if you want to be the greatest quarterback of all time, you need at least two Super Bowl wins. Doesn't mean if you get two, then you are automatically in the conversation, but you can't be in the conversation if you've only got one.
I
can't
put throwing Eli Manning in there.
Well, I think Eli Manning can be in the conversation because he's got two. Elway needed the second one, even though, or not Elway, but Manning needed the second one, even though the defense carried him, but he still got two. Marino has zero. I can't consider Marino the greatest quarterback of all time. He's got zero Super Bowls. Mahomes now can be in the conversation moving forward because he's already got a second. He may get more, but I think you need at least two. And to be a blue blood, I think you need at least three national championships.
Yeah, I think that's more than fair. Yeah. I mean, they've been playing it since 1939.
Yeah, anybody can go to the Final Four.
Except for like one school.
Seems so easy to go. I mean, San Diego State in the Mountain West. How did Miami? Maybe they should just go give $800,000 contracts to players. I mean, just do that, Mizzou. Come on, get involved in the NIL. Damn it.
I think they might be.
I mean, Miami went to the Elite Eight last year. Nobody remembers.
Because they lost by
30 to KU in that game. But it was like, it's a good run. Hey, nice little run by Miami. Good for you. Larinaga, maybe you'll get back there.
Jim Larinaga, Hall of Famer, maybe.
17 years to the day. The exact same day that they beat UConn, George Mason, they beat Texas and go to the Final Four. So good for him, man. 17 years, two different teams. I mean, that guy took George Mason and Miami.
Yeah.
It's a little different than you're like, well, that guy took Kansas and North Carolina to the Final Four. Cool, Roy. but he finally won a championship with North Carolina. But he's got those Final Fours on his resume.
UConn's got to be the odds-on favorite, right? Is it Miami after that?
It's UConn, San Diego State, Miami, then FAU. Okay. Because UConn's a heavy favorite, so therefore Miami
can't be.
Is behind what the favorite is on the other side.
Yeah.
So UConn is minus 125. Miami or San Diego State is plus 380. Miami is plus 475 and FAU plus 650.
I'm surprised FAU is that far behind Miami, given the fact that UConn makes the most sense.
Exactly. I thought the
that
same
feels like
thing.
Good value.
I thought San Diego State makes sense for being the second betting favorite, but I thought there was a decent chance that FAU and Miami might be like neck and neck, third and fourth, and just go either way, because if UConn's that heavy of a favorite, then it would stand to reason that Miami would be the least likely of the teams to win the national championship.
Miami's a 5.5-point dog or plus 200 straight up. Florida Atlantic is a 2-point dog or plus 110 straight up.
So they have a better chance of at least playing in the national championship game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
It's been a screwy tournament, man. I mean, no McDonald's All-Americans for the first time that seeding began or in the Final Four.
Oh, really?
There's no 1, 2, or 3 seed for the first time in the NCAA tournament. It's crazy. And I'm really glad that my Final Four included a 2, a 2, a 1, and a 2. Nailed it! Although, in my defense, last year was a 1, a 2, a 2, and an 8. But that 8 was North Carolina. Mm-hmm. We always get these crazy seeds to make the run. Like, you know, an 8 seed, North Carolina, and an 8 seed, Kentucky.
I completely forgot North Carolina was an 8 seed. That just makes them beating Coach K even better.
Yes, it really does.
I mean, they came from the FAU. They came from the bottom left part of the bracket. The FAU, even though FAU was the 9 seed, but they
this
came from that 8-9 game.
I don't have the bracket memorized year by year.
This is the highest seed of the four teams since
the VCU 10? Butler. 2010.
No, that was 11.
11, yeah. 11. VCU, Butler, UConn, and Connecticut. Or, excuse me, UConn and Kentucky.
Yeah.
That's the highest. This is the second highest.
But there was a 1 seed in that one.
I don't think there was. It was Kentucky
wasn't a 1?
No, Kentucky was a 4, UConn was a 3, and then Butler was an 8.
UConn was that high? I thought that was their, like...
That was 14.
Okay.
When they were the Shabazz Napier, that he was able to win it while being starving at night.
That's right.
While not being able to eat food at night, he was able to find his way through the national championship.
That was Kimball Walker's year.
In 14. Yep, Kimball Walker.
When they, raced through the Big East tournament, right?
And then the last time I gave anybody advice in a tournament was one of my friends. She was like, I've got UConn in the Final Four. What do you think? I'm like, no. They just
gassed.
Played all those games in a row in the Big East. I mean, the other ones are pretty good, but I'd probably switch it. Maybe they can make a run, but I don't think they're going to go to the Final Four.
Okay.
National champion UConn. Nailed it. Hey, don't listen to me for advice. It's the tournament. You got clearly, you got a better shot of getting it right. I didn't have Connecticut anywhere near the Final Four that year because, of course, they weren't going to be. They were too gassed. They played 6 games in 6 days. There's no way they can go and win 6 games in 3 weeks. No chance. So this is it's a screwy NCAA tournament. And it comes 1 year after we had Blue Bloods with Kansas, Duke, North Carolina, and Villanova.
Yeah, I think your point. I mean, it was a good question. A lot of people are asking it about
NIL, change the playing field.
Is it our change it? No, there's, I mean, maybe, but we can't, like, be conclusive on it yet. And that, like, upsets happen all the time in this tournament.
Well,
and there are seeds, lower than 9 that get through.
Well, I mean, just a couple of instances, like if the officials grant Memphis the timeout, that it should have been a timeout, not a jump ball, because he had the ball possession, multiple people calling timeout. Then a Florida Atlantic player jumps on it and grabs the ball and he calls a jump ball. Well, it was about 2 seconds of guys calling timeouts. It should have been a jump ball, Memphis's ball, and they probably win it. Instead, Florida Atlantic gets the ball. They're down by 1. They score. They win the game. They advance. Now they're in the Final Four. I don't know what happens with Virginia and San Diego State, but if Furman doesn't hit a crazy 3 at the buzzer when, you know, a senior who's been around for 10 years at Virginia just throws the ball up in the air for no reason in Clark, like, does Virginia out San Diego State, when they play that, you know, punch you in the mouth and grab and push and pull game?
And they're a swallowed whistle away from going to overtime with Creighton.
Absolutely. And then, you know, does Bama then roll past Virginia instead of losing to San Diego State. And now it's Bama and, you know, maybe Duke, you know, if or Tennessee even, because if Tennessee's playing, like, you know, Memphis or something.
If that's,
you know,
called, along the way, if, like, if that's called a foul on the offensive player in the Texas-Miami game.
That's right.
It's Texas going to the line,
yep,
to take the lead,
yep,
with a minute left, mm-hmm, instead of Miami.
That's right. On,
I think
on box out.
I don't know what you were using. I think that's actually the right call. In that, like, he
it's
jumped.
Tough, though, man.
He's jumping before, mm-hmm, he's making contact with the box out, right?
Yeah.
If you make contact and then you jump, and then absolutely that should be on the guy behind you. But, I mean, he's jumping for the ball. The box out comes, and to me, that's clearing somebody out.
It's tough because his back is to him. He can't see him jumping.
Well, I mean, there's lots of fouls called
absolutely
that are unintentional.
Yeah, he's backing up to back box him out, and the guy jumps, and so then he's sort of losing his balance because, yeah, the guy's no longer there, and then it's a foul. Yeah, a lot of fouls are unintentional.
Yeah, yeah. Keontae Johnson's third, diving for a ball, all of a sudden, oh, yeah, I committed, yeah, that foul?
He had a couple that were a tough whistle, but I think his fourth and his fifth were a little irresponsible.
The fourth was irresponsible. Don't die on that hill, man. You can get a bucket, yeah, back. You can't get a foul back.
Yeah,
just back off.
Trying
there
to take a charge. Yeah. Was like,
watch
late.
Creighton how they play. I mean, it is amazing, Kalkbrenner, how little he fouls.
He just jumps straight up.
It's
every
like
time
he goes to the ref in clinics. He goes straight up. He resists the urge to just bring the arms down and try to block the shot. And you know what? He gave up a couple buckets, but he's staying on the floor.
Yeah, you can bring your arms down all you want and hit somebody. It's not a foul. That's what I've been told. It's clean block. If you can jump straight up and then swat them in the head and the face after you block it, totally not a foul.
I don't know what this is referring to, but I am going to agree.
Mizzou thing, probably. It's a Mizzou thing.
Is this a Mizzou thing?
Thomas Robinson.
Okay, all right, yeah, all right.
He really fouled him because he went straight up, but then he slapped
him. I didn't hear a whistle.
I think
that would have been. They've been calling that all game. You got to call it there. They've been calling it all game.
Yeah, if that was a foul, it should have been a foul on the body, though, by the way, from my recollection of that play.
Either way. Yeah. But it's been screwy. We'll see what happens.
You don't make that call at that point in the game.
You can't call it
there. You can't call it there.
You've got to let him play football at that point. You just have to have
a
rugby
side.
Set the players aside by playing rugby. You got to do it. Put some shoulder pads on them and let them see if they can get a first down like Jalen Hurts and just push right along. We'll take a timeout. Learn Funny's Best coming up next.
Mick Schaefer in the Zone is brought to you by Atomic Cowboy Sports Saloon, home of the two-story biscuit sandwiches from Denver Biscuit Company all morning, New York-style hand-tossed pizza all afternoon and evening from Fat Soli's, and 20 beers on tap all the time. Experience it today at 42nd and Pennsylvania in Westport.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
There's the one thing I bring to the show every time, it's my nuggets.
Mixed nuggets, baby.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we got a little Learn Funniest Best coming up right now. It is presented by Pyramid Roofing. Nice weather here, not here. Rain, kind of cold, but you know what? The sun's out right now. And if you're out and about, you know what? Look around. May have started some of those outside chores. And when you're out there this weekend, during the week, whatever, take some time, see how the fall and winter treated your roof and gutters. And if you need some help, you need an assessment, you need maybe some peace of mind, call Mike and his crew at Pyramid Roofing for a free estimate, 816-966-1101 or pyramidroofingkc.com. All right, we get into a Learn Funniest Best. We go around the room, things we learned from the weekend, what the funniest from the weekend was, what the best from the weekend was. What I learned from the weekend, guys, is that we were all right in our assessment as college basketball was starting this year with the emphasis on the flop rule, that we said they are going to call it very close and make a point, but as the season goes on, they're not really going to want to get involved. I think Ken Pomeroy tweeted out that there has been 60 basketball games played since the last flop call was called.
Seriously?
By the officials. We kind of got that one right, where, yeah, they're going to try to make an emphasis, and then they'll get back to officiating the game that they always have, the way they always. So have the players adjusted, and they're not flopping?
I saw a lot of flops.
I saw a lot of flops, too. I think we're going to have 63 games, or whatever it might be.
Gasson's fifth foul was an absolute joke in that K-State game. We came on a big rebound that FAU got. No, they should have got the rebound. But the guy peels around, curls around Gasson, hooks him, and then throws his head back and throws himself on the ground like a toddler. And Gasan is whistled for the foul. He's just like, are you kidding me?
Was it Desi Sills that was posted up and he took a step inside the lane and the guy flew backwards and they didn't call anything, so Sills just laid it up?
Like, I think it was.
Okay, well, wouldn't that be a flop then?
Just
if
wait for the title game there to make up for those 63
well,
games.
Well, Sills was
62.
The one guarding the big dude inside the circle, but his primary defender. And there's a lot of dip in the shoulder. Looked like it could have been a charge, but I'm like, okay, if it's not a charge, is it a flop there? Yeah. We're just not going to do that anymore. So, I hate the head throwing back. No, there's no unless you're getting uppercut out there, your head shouldn't be thrown back like that. And if you do that, that should be a freaking flop automatically. I hate that.
They were calling flop technicals when a guy fell down on a 3-point attempt.
Yes. They should.
Yeah, but I mean, sometimes that can just be like,
if someone's in your landing area, that's a foul.
And they sort of like land and slide backwards. Like, that may not even trying to get a flop, that just sort of, or trying to get a call that just sort of, you know, we've seen players do that. It's kind of just natural where you're kind of fading away and then, I don't know.
You don't fall down if you're playing basketball. Yeah. You only fall down if you're looking for a fall.
You could. A lot of people like the fadeaway, and now I'm going to slide
backwards.
Coach?
Listen, we don't want you. We don't want you going back to be the one defender. We want you laying down on the ground.
That's right.
Trust me.
Yeah, take the fall. Act hurt. Get indignant.
That's where I've seen, I think, the most is on the three-pointers.
Yeah, and there have been a lot of guys that have fallen on three-pointers. But there,
I haven't seen it much on the regular charge calls.
So there you go. It's been a while since we've seen a flop called in college basketball. What'd you learn, Josh?
Oh, we're doing this? Did I just not hear you guys right?
Yeah, we said we're going to do Learn Funniest Basketball.
Yeah,
I missed that whole first segment.
Then I read the Learn Funniest Best sponsor with Pyramid Roofing. Should I do that again? Learn Funniest Best brought to you by Pyramid Roofing for a free estimate, 816-966-1101 or pyramidroofingkc.com. Let's get into Learn Funniest Best. What I learned is that, you know what? We were all right.
You know what I learned, actually? So Caitlin Clark, you know, from Iowa.
Joshua, no!
41 points, 12 assists, and 10 rebounds to help Iowa get past Louisville. First women's Final Four for Iowa in 30 years. And last night was the fifth time this season that Caitlin Clark, with 41 points, has scored more points than the 2022 Iowa football team did in any of its games.
I do love that.
She outscored Iowa football 5 times.
Oh, and a 40-point triple-double.
40-burger.
Unbelievable.
Beards,
41, 10, and 12.
I learned what Beards has learned was.
Sorry, Beards.
No, that was actually going to be
your
my best.
Funniest or best.
That was going to be your best.
My learned.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Sorry, that wasn't yours?
I skipped over Mick because I thought that was also going to be.
I did say I learned what his learned was.
I thought Beards was just a big fan of Iowa football and was tired of hearing about Ferentz and the trash talk there. That's what I thought. Go ahead, Mick.
My learned is that I learned that even at 53 years old, Ken Griffey Jr. will be the fourth highest paid player for the Cincinnati Reds this season.
Oh, my
Forget the Bobby Bonilla contract. He's getting $3.59 million thanks to a deferred payment agreement of his contract extension with the Reds back in 2000.
It's worth how much?
$3.5 million. He's the fourth highest paid.
Yeah. Wow. Well, roughly $2.5 million more than Bobby Bonilla Day that'll happen this summer. Beards, what'd you learn?
I learned that Spencer Dinwiddie, Mikal Bridges, and Cam Johnson have played more minutes together for the Nets than Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden did.
I'm okay with that.
They've been together since the trade deadline.
That's actually pretty good.
That's very good.
I like that.
I just learned King Griffey Jr. in 2009 was getting paid by the Mariners, Reds, and White Sox.
It's nice if you can get it, man.
Yeah.
What was your funniest from the weekend, Josh?
LeBron said two doctors recommended season-ending surgery for him, but then he went to go see the, quote, LeBron James of feet, and LeBron determined he's been able to return. Mike Golick Jr. asked on Twitter, what are you the LeBron James of? And I just have been thinking about that now for a while. I figured that would be a rich vein for us to tap into.
Yeah, one day.
What are you the LeBron James of? I'm going to say basketball, personally.
You're the LeBron James of basketball?
Yeah, that's what I would say.
That makes total sense, yeah.
If you guys have one, you can add it in if you'd like. If not, that was the LeBron James of feet was my funniest from the weekend.
What was your funniest, Mick?
Pass.
Wish we had the LeBron James of learned funniest best in here.
Beards, what was your funniest?
Pat Bev hit LeBron with the too small after he hit
That was funny.
That was good.
He did.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
That was a good one. You can keep thinking about your funniest.
Pat Bev is the LeBron of trash talk.
Uh-huh, with the too small. My funniest...
being annoying, more like.
Yeah, that's a good call.
My funniest was...
I'm the LeBron James of interrupting.
From that's very good. Was from Saturday night, right after K-State and Florida Atlantic game. Magic Johnson tweeted out, "This NCAA tournament has been the most exciting because there have been so many upsets and so many close games that came down to the wire in both the men's and women's tournaments."
Magic Johnson is the LeBron James of tweeting.
That's my funniest, is Magic Johnson with one hell of an observation.
What did he say?
He said, he tweeted out, "This NCAA tournament has been the most exciting because there have been so many upsets and so many close games that came down to the wire in both the men's and women's tournaments." Thank you, Magic. That is
all true.
Factually true tweet. Thank you, Magic. Appreciate it. Do we want to go to the best for you, Mick, or still on the funniest, or we want to go to the best for beards?
We go to the other guys. Here.
Go to the other guys.
I wasted. I could have done the, you guys hadn't heard the Andy Reid thing.
Darn it. You did waste that one.
Funniest.
Could have used that one in the learned the funniest or the best.
We can get a full
weekend.
Mick LFB just last segment, really. You can just, that way you get a commercial
Let's
break.
Do that, just like just the FB, okay. Really. I've done the L.
FB, yeah. There's been a lot of L's so far in this segment, I think. Beards, what was your best?
This entire show.
My best was Caitlin Clark scored 41 points over the weekend. That was the fifth time this season that she scored more points than the Iowa football team did in any of its games this year.
It's a great best.
Thank you.
Even better learned.
Yeah.
Pretty funny, too.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. My best.
I learned that Josh is a thief.
Hey, look, it was in my Google Doc too. My best is the top two entrants right now in the 8-10 bracket challenge at 810WHB.com in the VIP section with over 5,400 overall brackets submitted. Second place in the VIP section, 207 overall. Me. Thanks, everyone. But more importantly, first place and 99th overall is 13-year-old bracketologist Chloe Briscoe. So my best of the weekend is that the Briscoe family knows ball.
Should be your best. There you go. Nice job. My best is, look, it was a fun weekend of college basketball. I loved how Jerome Tang, handled the loss with his players at the podium, all of that stuff. It's great. I also thought it was cool that, you know, Dusty May, the head coach of Florida Atlantic, they were showing video after they beat Kansas State, but they showed video of after they beat Tennessee, that he went into the locker room. And how many coaches are like, "One more, guys, one more, we win the region, one more." And he went in the locker room and said, "Three more." "Three more, guys, after they beat Tennessee. We got three more wins, guys." It's just, I don't know, it's kind of cool that a coach of a 9 seed is like, "Yeah, we're not trying to win the region.
Three games
we
at a time.
We got 3 games. We are winning." Yeah, we take this 3 games at a time. We've always done this.
Not 4-6. That would be ridiculous. I got a best along with Dusty May.
Awesome.
He did all these interviews after the game, right, with the National and all that stuff. The FAU radio crew is one dude.
Yeah, the crew is one guy.
One dude, and I guess he's done it forever, and he's at every single coach's show, game, yada, yada. In total anonymity, and there he was courtside, you know, setting up all his own equipment. I'd seen these guys set up. They don't know how to set up equipment. So,
what?
I mean, you got to send equipment? Pamela out there, Dylan and everybody. It's a
Drake.
I mean, there's literally dozens of people at every single remote. He is by himself, and Dusty May gave him the most time, talked as long as he
That's
wanted
awesome.
For like half an hour after the game with his
and
with
the fact they lose power.
Right. Yes, they lost power.
30 seconds left to go in the game. They lose power. And he was like, well, you know, he said, Jerome Tang, they called a timeout, so it gave us a little more time. So they had to go to the second row and grab one of those cords and internet and plug it in.
You didn't know the name?
He didn't know the name of it, even, that type of cord.
XLR?
Is it BNC or XLR? No. Which one is
what kind of cord was it, Jason?
I don't know.
Those long, blue, skinny ones?
Ethernet cord.
Ethernet doesn't do power, Jason. Ethernet's for data.
I didn't mean the power. I mean they lost internet connection.
Connection. Okay. Well,
the whole front row lost internet connection, which sometimes it doesn't matter if you're just sitting there typing away. For him doing a play-by-play, it mattered. So he had to go and grab one from the second row, and then some other guy that was near him like was holding the equipment for him while he was standing up and doing the call of, you know, FAU going to the Final Four. It would be a nightmare if you lost connection and the final part of that game happens and you're off the air of going to the Final Four with Florida Atlantic. So then he made the call, and I am disappointed that he used a Houston, you have a problem
in the final call. But
did
still,
he really?
Yeah, he said, Houston, you have a problem. Florida Atlantic's coming, and they're coming to win a championship. That's fine. You know, it's all good. But dream come true, and you had to make do there. But, yeah, it was awesome. And Dusty May, you're right.
That's the equivalent of you're not in Kansas anymore.
That's right. Arkansas, you're not in Kansas anymore. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I'm with you on that one. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back, wrap up this hour. Coming up next.
Mick Schaefer's brought to you by Atomic Cowboy Sports Saloon. As seen on Food Network, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, and Man vs. Food, try it today at 42nd and Pennsylvania in Westport.
The Zone with Chase and Anderson.
Hey, I'm Mick Schaefer. I was in the lake this weekend. I don't like fish. Hey, Mick.
So, not even like shrimp or anything?
Not like shrimp and none of that.
Interesting. Like
I hate
scallops.
My family. And fish.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Learn Funniest Best, presented by Pyramid Roofing. There's a couple of funniest that I forgot to mention there that we could have, that Mick could have used.
Are we going to do Learn Funniest Best this segment?
I think
we're going to do it today. Or
I think there's another one that we all want to get to. But also, I forgot about a fan yelling to Kyrie Irving that the earth is round. Kept yelling it over and over again, and Kyrie got him kicked out of the game.
Is that what he was yelling?
Really?
That's what people are saying, is that the fan was yelling, the earth is round. Kyrie, the earth is round. And Kyrie went over, pointed him out, and the security escorted
Who
the guy.
Who could have seen it coming?
That's
flat out wrong.
I'm more of a conspiracy theorist with this when it comes to whether you should kick that guy out or not. The other funny
thing,
I'm
going to try to find proof of this, Brent. I'm having a hard time getting my head around it.
Well, you know, he's just globetrotting trying to find
Okay,
people.
Here's the deal. If they yell it 3 to 5 times, he shouldn't be, she or he shouldn't be kicked out. But if it's like annoyingly every 15 seconds and it's annoying everybody around, okay. You don't have the right to be a complete jackass.
They haven't kicked Kyrie out of the league yet, though.
That's true. The other funniest thing, we were talking with Mike Swanson last night, who was on Sunday Sound Off, and they had attended the game, the Texas and Miami game, and he said there were a couple of Texas fans behind him that when Miami was making the comeback and Texas was up 6, one of the guys said, "This is good for us because it'll make us tougher for next week." usually a team coming back from double digits to pull within a couple possessions isn't good, but this is good for us that they're coming back. It'll make us tougher next week.
I liked a story about Mike Trout, who he says is just this great dude, just a regular dude, right? And he's a big sports fan, big Eagles fan, and he was talking with Bobby Witt about the Chiefs and about the Super Bowl and about Mahomes, his first meet. He hadn't met Trout yet, and Witt was lockered right next to Mike Trout, and Trout turns up and said, do you guys really have to talk about this now?
Like, yeah, we get it. Enough there, guys. Hi, Mike Swanson. Mike Trout.
I'm your PR guy.
Very, very nice to meet you. I'm your PR guy for 5 seconds. There's other news out there that we've all learned, whether it's funniest or the best. I don't really sure. But what's this news that's going on with a wolf and a monitor?
A $1 million bond warrant.
Was there an ankle injury or...
I can read it here. Okay. A $1 million bond warrant has been issued for Chiefs superfan after he doesn't show up for court. Bad news about Chiefsaholic, everybody. He, this is according to 2 News Oklahoma, KJRH.com.
NBC station.
The Chiefs superfan, who's accused of robbing a bank, has now a $1 million bond warrant after removing his ankle monitor and failing to show up for court, according to the Tulsa County District Attorney's Office.
Ouch.
It's an expensive piece of jewelry to cut off your ankle.
Yeah. Unless you're heading to Mexico and just trying to get away.
He made headlines for asking the court to let him attend, quote, a family vacation in Phoenix, the same time as the NFL season finale between Kansas City and Philadelphia.
Did they grant him that request?
I don't know. That's actually the first I'm hearing of this.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, yeah, that was a big deal like a couple days before the Super Bowl. That
I was focused on other stuff, Jason.
Super Bowl, me too. Laser focused.
I was at the Super Bowl doing like 50 other things, and I saw it. You see everything on Twitter, Josh. That's what you do.
Ready for the game, grand film.
You're the Twitter dude.
Getting my wolf costume dry cleaned.
Someone say he's the LeBron James of Twitter.
Hey, I'll take that one.
I feel like you're more of a sheep in the wolf costume.
Bye.
Bye.